Chapter 1. Ararat, P. Eridani A System, 2675. Scorpio kept an eye on Vasco as the young man swam to shore. All the way in, he had thought about drowning, what it would feel like to slide down through unlit fathoms. They said that if you had to die, if you had no choice in the matter, then drowning was not the worst way to go. He wondered how anyone could be sure of this, and whether it applied to pigs. He was still thinking about it when the boat came to a sliding halt, the electric outboard racing until he killed it. Scorpio poked a stick overboard, judging the water to be no more than half a meter deep. He had hoped to locate one of the channels that allowed a closer approach to the island, but this would have to do. Even if he had not agreed to a place of rendezvous with Vasco, there was no time to push back out to sea and curl around hunting for something he had enough trouble finding when the sea was clear and the sky completely empty of clouds. Scorpio moved to the bow and took hold of the plastic-sheathed rope Vasco had been using as a pillow. He wrapped one end tightly around his wrist and then vaulted over the side of the boat in a single fluid movement. He splashed into the shallows, the bottle-green water lapping just above his knees. He could barely feel the cold through the thick leather of his boots and leggings. The boat was drifting slowly now that he had disembarked, but with a flick of his wrist he took up the slack in the line and brought the bow around by several degrees. He started walking, leaning hard to haul the boat. The rocks beneath his feet were treacherous, but for once his bow-legged gait served him well. He did not break his rhythm until the water was only halfway up his boots, and he again felt the boat scrape bottom. He hauled it a dozen strides further ashore, but that was as far as he was prepared to risk dragging it. He saw that Vasco had reached the shallows. The young man abandoned swimming and stood up in the water. Scorpio got back into the boat, flakes and scabs of corroded metal breaking away in his grip as he tugged the hull closer by the gunwale. The boat was past its 120th hour of immersion, this likely to be its final voyage. He reached over the side and dropped the small anchor. He could have done so earlier, but anchors were just as prone to erosion as hulls. It paid not to place too much trust in them. Another glance at Vasco. He was picking his way carefully towards the boat, his arms outstretched for balance. Scorpio gathered his companion's clothes and stuffed them into his pack, which already contained rations, fresh water, and medical supplies. He heaved the pack onto his back and began the short trudge to dry land, taking care to check on Vasco occasionally. Scorpio knew he had been hard on Vasco, but once the anger had started rising in him, there had been no holding it in check. He found this development disturbing. It was 23 years since Scorpio had raised his hand in anger against a human, except in the pursuit of duty. But he recognized that there was also a violence in words. Once he would have laughed it off, but lately he had been trying to live a different kind of life. He thought he had put certain things behind him. It was, of course, the prospect of meeting Clavaine that had brought all that fury to the surface. Too much apprehension, too many emotional threads reaching back into the blood-drenched mire of the past. Clavaine knew what Scorpio had been. Clavaine knew exactly what he was capable of doing. He stopped and waited for the young man to catch up with him.
Sir?
Vasco was out of breath and shivering.
How was it?
You were right, sir. It was a bit colder than it looked.
Scorpio shrugged the pack from his back.
I thought it would be, but you did all right. I've got your things with me. You'll be dry and warm in no time. Not sorry you came.
No, sir. Wanted a bit of adventure, didn't I?
Scorpio passed him his things.
You'll be after a bit less of it when you're my age.
It was a still day, as was often the case when the cloud cover on Ararat was low. The nearer sun, the one that Ararat orbited, was a washed-out smudge hanging low in the western sky. Its distant binary counterpart was a hard white jewel above the opposite horizon, pinned between a crack in the clouds. P. Eridani A and B, except no one ever called them anything other than bright sun and faint sun. In the silver-gray daylight, the water was leached of its usual color, reduced to a drab gray-green soup. It looked thick when it sloshed around Scorpio's boots, but despite the opacity of the water, the actual density of suspended microorganisms was low by Ararat standards. Vasco had still taken a small risk by swimming, but he had been right to do so.